chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end: a man ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Again, these verses contain the parable of the persistent widow. We see the parable in verses 2 through 5. It's important to recognize, as we pointed out this morning, that it follows Christ's discourse upon his second coming, in which he spoke of the fact that when he did return, it would be like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot. And then we come to chapter 18, and many people stop reading at chapter divisions, which is a huge mistake. Much is missed. Chapter divisions are not inspired. They were put there for convenience, but a lot of times they really are hindrance to understanding what's being said. So actually the parable is a part of Christ's discourse upon his second coming. And that is obvious from Christ's application of the parable in verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh. So he's still talking about the return of Christ. Shall he find faith on the earth? And many ideas concerning this faith, and it should not be that difficult. The faith spoken of is in direct relation to this widow woman of the parable, and is in the setting of the days leading up to Christ's return, the days of Noah, the days of Lot. I want to speak tonight on the faith needed for the days of Noah and Lot. In verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, to make this point, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that's the purpose of the parable. That's the point of the parable. Now, if someone tells you the point of a story before they tell the story, you shouldn't miss the point. And that's what Jesus does here. He wants to make sure that we do not miss the point. And again, it's in the context of Christ's second coming and the times leading up to his return. Now, this purpose that men ought always to pray and not to faint is illustrated in the parable. Again, the parable is verses 2 through 5. In the parable, you have two main characters. There's a judge. He is the antithesis of God. There is a widow woman, and she represents God's people. In fact, in verse 7, Jesus makes a comparison between her and his own elect. So she represents the elect or the saved. In the parable, this widow has an adversary. She has an enemy, someone who antagonizes her. This means that there was opposition in her life. This adversary had no doubt brought great trial into her life, had brought many hardships into her life, had complicated her life, had created some obstacles and hindrances in her life, caused her circumstances to be adverse, and this adversary no doubt caused much hurt in her life, caused her much distress, caused her some suffering and sorrow, no doubt caused her some fear and some anxiety. She's a picture, again, of the elect. The context is the days preceding when Christ returns, the days of Noah, the days of Lot. So she is a picture of the painful circumstances of the elect of God in the intensifying days of Noah and Lot. Now in the parable, the judge, who is the antithesis of God, he has no pity for her. He has no sympathy for her. He is indifferent toward her. And he's very content just to ignore her case, her situation. But she came saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." She didn't just come one time. She kept coming. In verse 5, we see her continual coming. Men ought to always pray. She illustrates this truth. And she comes to this judge and she pleads. And she pleads. She would no doubt face him in court, pleading, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Perhaps she would meet him in the morning and in the evening at his house, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Perhaps she would follow him in the street, crying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Perhaps she would meet him in the market, crying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." But one thing for certain is she continually came before this judge with this plea. And again, the answer to that plea takes place when the Son of Man returns. So for you and I, it's a prayer for Christ's return. We're to always be praying that. From the application that Jesus made in verse 7, she pleaded day and night unto him. She pleaded day and night, but time and time again, verse 4, he would not. But though she was continually refused, though she was continually rejected, turned away, ignored, slighted, shunned by the judge, she continued to come. Because she continued to believe that this judge was the only one who could deliver her from her adversary. He was the only one who could relieve her of her situation. She believed that. She believed that with all of her heart. So she came again and again and again with this plea, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Again, the parable has a very definite connection with what Jesus said in chapter 17. And the purpose and the design of the parable is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And this is exemplified by the widow in the parable. And what is it that motivated her to come continually, again and again? It was her faith. Her faith caused her to come. Her faith was the grounds, was the basis of her persistence before the judge. Now, in the strict context, it would be the faith believing that Jesus is coming again, and that faith leads us to continually pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." But there's many applications here. The question that he asks is, shall he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes, shall he find faith on the earth? What faith? Well, the faith of this widow. The faith demonstrated by this widow woman. It's not, shall he find religious profession? It's not, shall he find religious ceremony, religious formality, religious tradition? Oh, there'll be plenty of that. That's not the question. Shall he find faith on the earth? The very question implies the importance of this particular kind of faith. It shows that this faith is significant, that it is of great consequence. The question implies that when Jesus returns, this kind of faith will be very rare. It'll be very scarce. Shall he find faith on the earth? He's talking about a specific faith. Again, in the strict context, it's belief in the return of Jesus Christ. Very few will be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. So, with the implications of that question, it serves as a warning. It serves as a warning and becomes a very concerning and a very searching question for you and I. It's a question that should arouse a degree of fear within the hearts of God's people. And again, in the strict context, it's referring to Christ's return. But we want to notice the characteristics of her faith. And it is the kind of faith that we need in these days. And it is a very rare and it is a very scarce faith. So in the parable, this widow had a faith that caused her to know, that caused her to recognize and acknowledge that this judge, again, he's the antithesis of God, but that this judge held a position, had the authority, had the power, had the ability to help her. She believed that. She believed that with all of her heart. She didn't go anywhere else. This faith, this belief gripped her heart. It was something that impacted her life. This judge has the authority to help me. This judge has the power and the ability to help me. And I'm sure there were plenty of people who would tell her, especially after she's rejected so many times, it's no use. You're wasting your time. He is not going to help you. He's not going to help you. He cares nothing about you. And I'm sure there were people who mocked her for her persistence. But she had a faith that did not need validation from the world. The question is, will the Lord find such faith amongst us? A faith that believes God is the only one who can help me. The only one. He is my only resource. A faith that knows and is absolutely persuaded that no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the magnitude of the problem or the trial or the difficulty or the need or the infirmity, no matter how big the giant or how massive the obstacle, it is a faith that believes there is a God in heaven. And that God reigns supreme, and He excels all, and He's absolute, He's sovereign, He's almighty, He's eternal, He's immortal, He's immutable, He's infinite, He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's all-sufficient, He's faithful, He's merciful, He's gracious, He's living, He's conquering, He's triumphant, and He is the only one who can help me. That faith is what we need. It's not a faith that makes God the last resort after you've tried everything else. It's a faith that believes He's the only one. And again, this judge is the antithesis of God. He's nothing like God. But she believed He's the only one. He's the only one I have. And that's how it is for you and I. We need that kind of faith. In the parable, the widow had a faith that had a life-altering impact upon her. If your so-called faith does not have an impact upon your life, you don't have much. You have an empty, you have a dead faith. But this faith that she had caused her to unashamedly seek the judge and come before Him. And she came before Him in public places, and I'm sure there were people who said, "There she goes again. She's crazy. He's not going to help her." And there she goes. She's making a fool of herself. But she just kept coming and coming. Her heart was drawn to the judge. If your faith does not draw your heart to God, if your faith does not draw your life to God, you have a dead faith. He was not an afterthought to her. She'd get up in the morning and she would go. Throughout the day she would plead. Wherever He was, you could find her pleading. She was steadfastly minded to get to the judge. The question is, will the Lord find such faith amongst us? A faith that moves us in the direction of God at all times. Not in the direction of the days of Noah and the days of Lot, but moves us in the direction of God. A faith that leads us Godward. A faith that moves us out of our comfort zone. Because we can get very comfortable in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, in the affairs of life. In the parable, the widow had a faith that caused her to unashamedly plead with the judge. She placed all with the judge. She didn't go to 10 or 12 different people, ask their opinion. She went to the judge. And she unashamedly pleaded. And He would not. But even though He would not, over and over again, He would not. She had no backup plan. If you have a backup plan to God, your backup plan, that's a worthless plan. She had no backup plan. The judge wasn't her backup plan, and she had no backup plan after the judge. He was her only alternative. Her only alternative. It's a good place to be, where the only place you can go is God. You may think that's an awful place to be, but it's the best place you can be. The question is, will the Lord find such a faith amongst us? A faith that makes us a constantly praying people. A faith that puts us on our knees before God. Jesus is coming. He could come at any moment. We pray that He does. And we live in these days of Noah and Lot, difficult times. And we need a faith that will put us on our knees before the Lord. A faith that causes us to kneel before God. A faith that causes us to pour our hearts out to God in prayer. And seeking the judge and pleading with him, she was desiring more. She was desiring that he would do something in her life. Avenge me of mine adversary. She had a faith that knew the judge could give her, that this judge could give her more than what her life was. So it is with God. She had a faith that caused her to long and yearn for what the judge could give her. She had a faith that would not settle for anything less than avenge me of mine adversary. She had a need. And she realized that he was the only one who could meet that need. A faith that causes us to know that there is more spiritually. A faith that causes us to desire more spiritually. A faith that causes us to desire to be more holy and more loving and more believing and more yielded and more submitted and closer to the Lord. A faith that wants more spiritually and will not settle for anything less. This woman would not settle for anything less than avenge me of mine adversary. We need a faith that knows there's more. There's more. There's more for me spiritually. So why would I settle for less when there's more? Will he find that kind of faith? She had a faith that caused her to know that nothing was more important than what the judge could give her. I'm sure there were a lot of things going on in her life. But whatever was going on her life on any given day, it did not take the place, it did not take precedence over I've got to get to the judge and plead with him. You see, that's the problem of the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Earthly things take precedence over spiritual things. And we see it on every hand. And sadly, it has become the norm. It has become the norm. And folks just don't even see anything wrong with it. How sad. She had a faith that shaped and controlled and dominated her life. I got to get to the judge. I've got to plead with him today to avenge me of mine adversary. That was her priority. That was her priority every single day. Whatever else a day or night might bring forth, her priority was, I've got to get to the judge and plead that he deliver me from mine adversary. She had a faith that would not permit life to get in the way. Nothing could get in the way of her going to the judge. Perhaps company came over to her house and she would say, I'm sorry, but I've got to leave. I've got to get to that judge. Friends and family could not keep her from this. This was a priority in her life. And we need a faith that causes God to be the priority of our life. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when we feel like it. But God is a priority no matter what happens in a day. Because I know He's the only one who can help me. She had this faith. Caused God to be a priority. Again, the problem with the days of Noah and Lot is everything else is priority. Eating, drinking, marrying, building, planting. Those things are more of a priority than the Lord. She had a faith, again, that would not allow life to get in the way. Life has a tendency to do that. Has a tendency to get in the way of spiritual things. Has a tendency to get in the way of God. But we need a faith that just will not let that happen. In other words, we need a faith like Moses that says no. No. Not going to allow life to get in the way. You put God before family. You put God before your job. You put God before circumstances. And most of God's people will think you've lost your mind. They'll think you've gone absolutely crazy. I experienced it this past week. Whatever a day or night might bring forth did not change. I've got to get to the judge. He's the only one who can help me, and I will not allow anybody, I will not allow anything to keep me from Him. That's the faith that she had. She had a faith that would not allow her to get entangled with the affairs of life, that would keep her from getting to the judge. Again, the question is, will he find that kind of faith amongst us? A faith that makes God and the matters of God the emphasis, and the object and the center and the motive of all that we do. A faith that will keep you from being pulled in and keep you from being depleted and drained and stuck and defined and controlled by circumstances or by the world. There is a faith that rises above these things. She had a faith that was unstoppable. In the midst of a cruel and relentless enemy, her adversary, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of overwhelming sorrows and difficulties, she had a faith that enabled her to endure the trials and the hardships. There are things in the days in which we live that you have to endure. And it takes faith to endure. She had a faith that caused her to be unwavering. It was a faith that gave her spiritual stamina. Where did she find the stamina to continually come to this judge, though she was being rejected time and time and time again? It was her faith that gave her that stamina. It was her faith that gave her the fortitude and the resolve to continually go before the judge. A faith that continued to believe in spite of appearances. The judge would not. But in spite of that, she continued to come and plead with the judge that he would deliver her from her tormentor. A faith that caused her to keep depending and relying upon the judge. Pouring out her soul to him. Will the Lord find such a faith amongst us? A faith that will not allow us to become discouraged. I don't see anywhere in this parable where it is even implied that she ever became discouraged, that she ever quit, that she ever became demoralized or disheartened and just give up. Her faith kept her going. Her faith provided her the stamina and the fortitude and the resolve that she needed, causing her to persevere toward the judge. And we need that kind of faith that causes us, no matter what, to just press through. To press through the most fierce winds, moving beyond the fortifications of the world and Satan, and moving beyond the threats of the enemy. Faith will do that. Will he find that kind of faith? Again, it's very rare today. Most of God's people have very little stamina. Very little. They can't handle too much. And these aren't, well, they shouldn't be, They shouldn't be babes in Christ. They've been saved for decades. But they can't handle a whole lot. Because their faith is weak. Because their faith is weak, they've succumbed to the days of Noah and Lot, which is continually weakens their faith. Why is it that people get more upset about temporal things than spiritual things? It's because that's their life. That's their life. They've succumbed to the days of Noah. They've succumbed to the days of Lot. So in the parable, the widow lived in an adversarial and hostile and a threatening and dangerous and very urgent circumstance. And here we are. Same thing. Living in the intensifying days of Noah and Lot. In the masses, and I'm not just talking about the unsaved, the masses have been duped by that which is satanic. And God's people are mired in and entangled with and imprisoned by the ways and the attitudes and the values and the priorities of the world. We need a faith that will not allow the world to set, to determine what our attitude should be, what our values should be, what our priorities should be. The world should not determine that for you and I. God determines that for us. And our faith in God determines that for us. Jesus is coming again to avenge His own. To avenge His own. Not to avenge everybody. To avenge His own. Which cry unto them to Him day and night, though He bear long with them. In other words, you pray and you pray and you pray and then you wait, but you keep praying. You don't give up. And it's faith that enables us to do that. So here we are, living in days that are hostile to the ways of the Lord. And they're going to become more hostile. We live in a day where there is widespread in utter disdain toward God. And it's going to get worse. And we are incessantly bombarded with that which is poisonous to us spiritually. We are incessantly bombarded with the lies of the secular world. We don't expect the lost to do any differently. But God's people should not buy into the lies of the secular. And yet the lies of the secular has infiltrated the thinking of many of God's people and has made inroads into the lives of God's people. And now they're more concerned with, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be. They're now more concerned with earthly and temporal than they are the spiritual. And that's where we are today. Oh, how we need the faith exemplified by this widow woman. What faith she had. You know, and faith is really a root of the Christian life. How much we live in the awareness of God is in proportion to our faith. How much we live in the awareness of His coming is in proportion to our faith that He is coming, that He could come today. Our degree of dedication, our degree of commitment and surrender to God is in proportion to our faith. If someone is not dedicated to God, they can deny it all they want to, but if someone is not dedicated to God, they have little or no faith. Faith causes dedication to God. Our ambition for God is in degree, is in proportion to our faith. Our pursuit of God is in proportion to our faith. Our degree of nonconformity to the world and our degree of transformation to Christ is in proportion to our faith. Our degree of serving the Lord as He would have us to serve is in proportion to our faith. Our obedience is linked to our faith. Our following the Lord is linked to our faith. Our prayer life is linked to our faith. Our love for the Lord is linked to our faith. Our enjoyment of the Lord is linked to our faith. The peace of God is linked to our faith. Our assurance, our zeal, our endurance in the Lord's cause are all linked to faith. We read in 2 Chronicles 20, in verse 20, "Believe in the Lord your God," that's faith, "so shall ye be established. Believe ye His prophets, so shall ye prosper." You see, it's faith that gives us establishment in the matters of God. Why are so few firmly established in the matters of God? Because their faith is weak. Because they put more value in the eating, the drinking, the marrying, the affairs of life than they do the Lord. And that's why they don't prosper spiritually. Our pleasing God is linked to our faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our living for His honor and glory is linked to faith. Oh, how we need faith. And yet, this faith is a rarity. Shall he find faith on the earth? We need it. We desperately need it. Someone will say, "Well, how do I grow it, or how do I obtain it?" The apostles prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." That needs to be a prayer every day as well. Lord, increase my faith. It's like the father of the demoniac. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And we all have some unbelief. We all believe some things. We need God to increase what we believe, increase that faith. But then to help us in our unbelief as well. So that's what we need to pray every day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And times are going to get harder, more difficult. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith until you come. We need our faith to be strengthened. Faith is tested in many, many different ways. And the tests simply reveal what kind of faith we have. The Bible speaks of great faith. The Bible speaks of weak faith. The Bible speaks of no faith. The Bible speaks of little faith. We need great faith. And I believe that is illustrated in this parable of this widow woman. You know, a widow in the time of Christ, there really wasn't anybody who was more helpless, more powerless than a widow woman. And yet this woman had a faith that raised her above all that was going on. And that's what we need today. We've mentioned this in the past. People say, well, you know, I'm not going to pray for the Lord to increase faith because he's going to send more trials in my life. That's a very sad statement. You ought to want faith so much that whatever God has to do to increase it, that'll be all right. But that statement, well, I'm not going to pray for an increase in faith because God will do such and such. That statement also reveals a great misunderstanding of who God really is. God isn't there just waiting to let you have it. If that was the case, he would have let us have it a long time ago. But we need to trust him. Again, Lord, increase our faith. He's not going to give me more than I can bear. That's faith also. Increase our faith. Oh, how we need faith. As individuals, we need more faith. As a collective body, we need more faith. There's just no getting around it. We need faith. We need more and more faith. And he's the only one who can give it. The only one. So we need to go to him and ask him to increase our faith. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.